Welcome to episode 139 of the Geocaching Podcast, 10 Essentials of Hiking, recorded live on January 26th, 2010. I am your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Monty Ryder.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners. That can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. Voicemail line is 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Montu, Daryl, welcome back. It's 1 week closer to CacherCon, and I know that, Montu, you're not going to be there, but Daryl, me, we're going to be there. Montu, how have you been since last week?
Oh, pretty good. Glad to see that Daryl's back with us and feeling better. Didn't do much during the week after our last show, but went out Saturday to do some more work on my first ever Earth Cache attempt. So far, everything's going along pretty good with that. Need to get some more information for both the to put into the listing and for the questions that I'll need to be asking of the people who go out to find the thing. Tried for a cache that was nearby, but after searching for it very diligently, I've got a bad feeling it's been muggled. Sent word to the cache owner who lives right up the street from me, and he says he'll go out in there and check on it. Sunday, went out for more caching, found most of the ones we were after, including a couple with some very, very interesting containers for them. Very theme-oriented on one of them, and the other one was just absolutely out of this world. When you walk up to it, you think it's an LPC, but it's not. So that got our count up to about 325. Should be able to hit the 400 mark before the year is out. How about you guys?
Well, it's good luck for you to hit that 400 mark. You know, if you came up to CacherCon, though, I'm sure we could get there real fast for you. Sure you don't want to make the trip? Go on.
Unfortunately, as I recall, the dates for the CacherCon is the same dates that we've got for our live steamers meet here. So, unfortunately, I can't be two places at once.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's only a day's drive. You can make it up.
I think I'll pass this time.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I've been spending a lot of time on CacherCon, just getting the little stuff done and kind of feeling like, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff to do and not enough time to do it and not enough stuff ready that I can do anything yet. So, yeah, it's coming together, but, you know, we just have to kind of wait until the day of to get most of the work done, like all the setup. And, you know, we're going to be there 3 hours before the keynote, setting up the projectors, the audio, the speakers, and all that kind of stuff. In the meantime, I got to just, you know, get things like the name tags, the sign-in sheets, you know, do the background presentation kind of stuff, you know, the slides in between the presenters, that kind of thing. But this weekend, we did record another interview for Cachemaniacs. And we also recorded another CRT, so that's going to be hit a couple of days before CacherCon, actually. And we still had a chance to make another trip to the zoo, which we did the weekend before, too. And didn't get the photos this time that we got last weekend, but still, you know, a lot of fun. It's really a nice thing to do for photographers, because it's kind of like shooting ducks in a barrel, and you get some really good practice. Not that you're getting the, you know, wildlife stuff, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. Andy, I know you're coming up to CacherCon, though, and you've got a presentation to do, so how's that coming along?
Well, it is definitely coming along. You know, I thought I'd just quit. You know, I'm not gonna come up. Just kidding. No, I definitely.
It'd be kind of hard to do the keynote at the very least just myself.
It would, especially since it's going to be a live geocaching podcast. And we encourage you guys to come out, join us live, either in person in Detroit, Michigan, or the surrounding area, or make sure you join us live on TalkShoe. We're going to go ahead and record another live podcast. That'll be Saturday, February 6th. And, you know, we'd love to have you. Just make sure you follow our Twitter feed, and we'll go ahead and get all the information as far as when we're going live and all of the other good stuff like that. It is coming along. It's gonna be a good show. I can't wait to get out there. I'm getting more and more excited as the days go by.
Well, that's always good. And, you know, it's 11 o'clock scheduled start time for the keynote, but we're going to have, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever, of some babbling beforehand. So if you're a little bit late, not a big deal. And we will be putting it up on both Ustream Live and, of course, TalkShoe. You're actually better off on TalkShoe in that you can actually communicate with us. And through Ustream, you know, we really don't have that kind of interaction because it's not the same device that we're going to have on stage that's actually doing the streaming. It's actually the iPhone, which my buddy's going to be running around with in the audience.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's always fun doing a lot of technical, you know, hacking together to get things to work. So it ought to be a fun show.
Yeah, and I'm actually testing the iPhone over the 3G right now on this podcast to make sure that everything is finally in place and I've got everything set up right, including the cable hacking and all of the settings on the phone to make sure that no one can call in and interrupt. Because that's one of the things that really sucks about the iPhone is because there's no background tasks or anything, when you have an incoming call, it kills whatever your current application is. So yeah, you have to go and mess around with it to kind of lock out the calls.
That's never good.
No, not at all.
As far as what I've been doing since last week, you know, the snow melted this weekend and that was just awesome. You know, it was a great weekend. We had some time in a small group with our church, and that was all awesome. I didn't get my hopes up because I knew that the winter and the snow would be back, and guess what? Today it's here. Tomorrow it's going to be below freezing, and, you know, I just don't like northern Indiana winters, but what can I do? I live here. So anyways, you know, other than that, just been spending time getting ready for CasherCon, both with the podcast and my GSAC presentation that I'm going to be doing. So, you know, really, that's about it for us. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 10 essentials of caching that REI had put out, kind of redid from an earlier publication from somebody else. But first, let's go ahead and listen to the bad cop.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the bad cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, Twitter user _Mike asked, do you like the new geocaching.com layout? 30% of you answered yes to this question. Many of you saying, and I agree, that the new layout looks better on the smaller screens of netbooks and smartphones. The rest didn't like them or hadn't noticed the minor cosmetic changes yet. So what do you think about the new geocaching.com layout? Don't hesitate to put in your 2 cents. Give me a tweet. Want to find out all this and more? Follow me, the bad cop, on Twitter.
Like I said, we're going to be talking tonight about the 10 essentials of hiking that REI had placed out. It's a little bit revised from an earlier edition. There are 10 different things to remember when you're hiking. This is more for survival type of hiking, not just out to, you know, do cache runs through the city. But either way, it's always good to have these things. The first and very number one thing, well, Daryl, can you go ahead and tell us that?
Well, the first thing you're going to have to make sure is that you have some way to navigate. And, you know, aside from the GPS, which we probably already have with us for, you know, finding caches and hopefully marking your car if you don't remember where that is to have a map and a compass along. Because if you're going to be out for like a day hike or something, you never know what's going to happen. You could screw up your GPS. It could run out of battery power. You know, just about anything can happen. You know, falls off a cliff. So make sure that you have the map and the compass as a backup and that you know how to use it. You know, it's not going to be 100% guaranteed that your GPS doesn't flake out for whatever reason. So nice to have those backups.
Now, Montu, can you tell us about the next number?
Yeah, the second item you definitely want to be prepared with would be sun protection. Even in the winter months where you've got all the snow, you still need to be prepared for the possible need for sun protection. Sunglasses are definitely a plus. You know, not just sunscreen. With the sunglasses, they're not that expensive, and they'll keep your eyes from, you know, protect your eyes from cancer, and also will help you see in the snow. Wraparound lenses keep the light from entering the corners of your eyes, and also help buffer your eyes from the wind. All definite great items. Even here in the South, where we don't have the snow problem, you know, you definitely still have the sun issues. And especially like with the wraparound sunglasses, that'll help you when you go into one of the shadier areas looking for that cache. And a sunscreen, you want to be careful and choose one with SPF of at least 15, though SPF 30 is recommended for extended outdoor activity. Again, this is regardless whether you're in the South or up north where the where we got all the lovely snow. Also choose one that blocks both UVA and UVB rays. It's a very important thing because both of those can cause some skin damage. And don't forget to put a lot on and on often, at least every 2 to 3 hours, depending upon the instructions that are on the bottle.
Now, before we continue on to the number three thing, if you have anything that you'd like to put into this podcast, feel free to give us a call. And that number is 724-444-7444. And our Talkcast ID is 7525. Also, if you're listening to this as a podcast and we're not doing this live while you're listening to it, go ahead and give us a voicemail at 206-350-3GPS with any questions or comments. Moving on, number three is insulation. You're going to want to have some extra clothing. As we all know, as a nice day can turn into the worst weather very, very quickly. So what is suggested is to carry an extra set of clothing. No need to go crazy and carry things that you'll never need, though. However, think what is important or what's going to happen the worst condition that you may run into while you're out. Most likely, if it's summer out there, there's no need to carry snow pants. But I guess depending where you're at, that might, if the weather goes really opposite really quickly, you might. But for the most part, it'd be smart to carry something like an extra set of pants, a shirt, and maybe even a sweatshirt, depending on how easily the weather turns. It's good to do some research if you're not familiar with the area to kind of get an idea of what the weather could and may be like. Daryl?
Well, another good thing that a couple of people have brought up in the chat room is actually make sure that you have a change of socks and shoes, too, because that does tend to help if you get those wet. It's rather uncomfortable and not very hygienic to be walking around in damp socks. But point number four we're going to hit today is illumination. Now, as it gets dark, whether it's a storm, whether it's you were out too long, or just even some of the heavy canopies and that kind of stuff, you will want to bring something along to light the way. And for most of your general hiking kind of stuff, the headlamps are nice because you don't have to worry about, holding on to them. They're a lot lighter than a lot of the flashlights are. They're fairly small. Batteries tend to last a fairly long time. And, you just stick it on your head. You walk around with it. It produces a lot of light and, you just look and it's there. You don't have to go pointing the flashlight around. But I tend to like the regular flashlights myself, in part because usually you can focus a beam, get something a little bit more specific. So that's a nice thing to have along with you. And, I carry the UV flashlight a lot of the time, even though I don't really need it. But, nice little accessory. So that's when you would want to probably carry that instead of the headlamp. But even then, I try to carry both when I go out. Always, though, make sure that you have extra batteries. You never know when you're going to have left the flashlight on in the bag and didn't notice and run out the battery. So make sure you have the extra batteries along. You're going to really appreciate that you had it. Montu, what's the next thing that we can talk about tonight?
No, the next one, this one definitely holds true for my area, first aid supplies. You need to pack a first aid kit. Most pre-made kits that you can buy in the store will have everything you need, but make sure you've got a big enough kit or enough kits to handle the first aid for your entire group and know how to use everything. One of the biggest things we find down here in Florida, we've got the sawtooth palmetto, and sometimes that will even rip right through blue jeans. And you can definitely get your leg cut up pretty bad by it. There's been a couple of caches that I've gone after where when I come out, I find my whole leg is covered in blood, and it's all just from a couple of nice placed cuts from the sawtooth palmetto. And having a med kit around definitely comes in handy. Clean yourself up before the mosquitoes and other bugs start getting into it and possibly get infected. And then you're going to really ruin your caching day by having to take that trip to the hospital. Andy?
Now, before I get on to the next and the number sixth item, I want to go back and touch. Jeff Bolden in the chat room said that in the Smokies, it can drop 20 degrees from the top of the bottom of the mountain. So you're definitely going to want to carry, I mean, 20 degrees is quite a bit. So you may not think about just needing, you know, a coat or something, but you may need a coat depending on how cold it gets too. Now, the sixth item is fire. You're going to want to take some waterproof matches or use a waterproof container too. Make sure that you also take the strike pad with you too. The matches just aren't going to be enough if you've got no way to actually light them. So you may want to take a lighter with you, but always take the matches because sometimes the lighters won't work. You may run out of gas, things like that. It's easier to know, get a good idea on your inventory with actual matches. You may want to also take a flint if you need something to start a spark. Now, that's, you know, going back to the basics, and your Boy Scouts are going to know how to use that. But it's going to be a lot of times you'll be able to, with a lot of work, but be able to get a fire going, especially if your matches break, you run out of matches, things like that. Also, you're going to want to take fire starters. You may not have something that you can find in nature to help start the fire too. So a fire starter usually is something that you can have in your backpack, like dry tinder tucked away in a plastic bag, candles, priming paste, heat nuggets, which is basically just chipped wood in soaked in resin, and even lint trappings from the household clothes dryer can work too if you need to start a fire. Now, Daryl, what are some other things that we should take?
Well, number seven point we're going to talk about is repair kit and tools. Now, this depends a lot on what you're going to take with you, but commonly you're going to want something like a knife or a Leatherman, which will give you a lot of those tools and stuff that you need to make repairs on the trail. And, you know, we've actually talked to some guys who have used the saw blade in their Swiss Army knife to hack off a limb and use it for use a limb as a walking stick to help them get out after they hurt their ankles. Or one guy actually broke his leg and made it out with sticks, actually.
Now, I have to admit, though, Daryl, when I just heard you say that he cut a limb off, I was thinking his own limb, and I was like,
"Oh,
with the Swiss Army knife, that would hurt."
No amputations. I've heard of people doing that with crushed legs and rock slides and stuff, but hopefully we're not going to be running into any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, also consider things like duct tape or, you know, things like that, that, you know, string. I know Sonny's been talking a lot about the parachute cord, and that's all good stuff to take that helps to, you know, kind of MacGyver stuff when you get stuck and have to get out with only what you've got on you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, our next point is nutrition, extra food. Always pack at least an extra day's worth of food. Now, if you're going to be out just for a couple of hours, you know, basically what I generally do myself is I pack enough snacks and whatever for double the time of what I'm planning on being out. Because you never know, you know, just how long it might be that you're out there. It's always smart to include non-cook items. This gives you a lot of selections to go with. The extra energy bars, nuts, dried fruits, jerky, you know, whatever you can find. Freeze-dried meals also can work. Now, when you digest food, this also helps out for when you're cold. Because when the process the body goes through when you're digesting the food, will generate some heat in the body, and that'll help to keep you warm. So it might be smart to eat a little something before you go to bed if you wind up getting stuck out there during the night. Just remember, though, animals can smell food, and that's why we don't put them in geocaches. So make sure to put wrappers and other food items out of the smell for animals.
Now, another main thing that you're going to want to bring with you is water. Depending on how long your hike is, it's advisable to take one extra bottle of water with you and also a collapsible water bag. It's also smart to take some items with you that will help treat water. For example, a filter, purifier, or chemicals that will treat the water. Because sometimes you may run out of water that's in your bottle, so you need to take water from nature and actually purify that. It's also advisable that when you begin a long trip, to look at the map and try to figure out where the sources of water might be at, and always keep your water bottle filled. So if you get to a point where there's going to be no water for a while, and you reach that point, go ahead and fill up your water bottles, and if you need to purify that, go ahead and do that. Daryl?
Well, our final point this evening is emergency shelter. So if you're going on a long day trip, make sure to bring an emergency blanket of some type. You never know when your planned day trip might accidentally turn into more than that, like the gentleman we talked about who broke his leg, had to spend the night out there. So a space blanket folds up very small and helps retain the heat, so that's a great solution. And even a garbage bag can help if that's all you've got with you. So, you know, take along that big Cedo bag, and worst case scenario, you can use that to keep the rain off.
Now, this is by no means a complete list. There are other things to think about, like, say, a spot messenger or other type of satellite communications. Another good thing is a small mirror to help signal for help. And a lot of times you'll actually find that in compass containers, but that is what it's there for, not to make sure that your face is clean. Another most important thing to bring is your knowledge, too. Bring anything that you might need, but also know how to use it too. The things that are in your bag, the things we mentioned here, those 10 essentials of hiking, aren't going to do you any good if you don't know how to use it. So just because you have the items, you really need to know how to use them too. And then also let people know where you're going to be and when you expect to be back. That way they know when to send out the rescue crew if you're not going to be back. But at the same time, if you're going to plan on taking a 3-day hike, that they don't get worried if they don't see you for 3 days, too. Daryl Montu, anything else that you can think of that you guys would add to this list?
Well, I know a lot of it depends very much on your region. These are just some real good general concepts. But, you know, if you're going on a longer hike, make sure that you know roughly what you're doing, at least. You know, don't get out there and find out that you're in trouble. And, you know, park rangers and those kind of guys will help you out with some of the individual park conditions. So it's always best to talk to, locals who know the park if you're going to go out on a longer hike that you're not really familiar with.
Now, also, a lot of these things are good things to also put in your car emergency kit. I know that those of you who are used to cold winters, you have been told that you always should have a lot of these things actually in your car in case your car doesn't start, so that way you can keep keep alive while you wait on rescue. So a lot of these same things would be found in that. If there are things that you have in your car kit, you may also want to think about taking them on hiking too. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. We realize there are many places you can spend your hard-earned cash, and if you decide to donate, you'll be given a link to our Plus feed. Thank you for your support. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.